June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I can assume Chris Arnold is going to the Mavericks headquarters to try and get us a Cooper Flagg autographed basketball, even though technically he hasn't been drafted by the team. That's what I'm going to assume. I know he's got a lot of stuff to do. Maybe we can add that to the grouping.
Let's do it.
All right, good. We're going to talk. Do you ever wish that you could answer someone's off-air question on air, even though it has nothing to do? Because I can answer Chris Arnold's question, but it has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
But he would get the information he needs.
So just like another better opportunity. Maybe didn't love the new management scheme and, you know, something like that. All right. So let's talk about basketball here. We're going to talk about Cooper Flagg because there's a couple of different things about Cooper Flagg that I think are really fascinating. But Eric Chiafalo said that's all fine and well, but I demand Luka information first.
Oh, you want to start with the Luka?
Yeah. Let's start with the Luka information.
Okay. According to The Athletic, they have given us a Luka update. Now, we've seen some photos of him circulating over the last month or so. Yeah, it looks pretty thin, but that's also somewhat par for the course. Feels like for the last few years, we've seen photos of him in an off season. It's like, oh, looks a little bit slimmer, and then he finds a way to like maybe put on pounds during the season, which is sort of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But the report out of The Athletic says Luka has been incredibly committed to his conditioning this offseason. He's dropped significant weight and is working on a strict diet and cardio training, and he shifted from his normal off-season routine. He actually spent a month away from on-court work just to specifically focus more on his body.
All right. So I know one of the logical things that's going to get brought up here is, oh, why couldn't he do that when he was with the Mavericks? But let's face it, whether it's work, whether it's a relationship, I feel like in relationships, this happens a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you get broken up with or somebody points something out and you're like, all right, that's fine. We'll see about that. And so I kind of feel like obviously Luka was shocked by the breakup and he's like, I'm going to show all of you. And he's getting in the best shape of his life. Because when you meet back up with your ex, you want them to be like, oh, you look good. Even though maybe it's a personality issue. I don't know how quickly you can show off your personality and like tell them something really clever. But you want to be like, oh, it looks good. And so he wants the Mavericks to look at him and be like, oh, he is trimmed up. He's staying in shape. I like it.
Without question. You know that the entire time he's just imagining that first time back at the AAC in next season.
Yes.
And he wants Nico to see him as he's doing his pregame routine, doing all the trick shots. And he wants Nico to be like, oh my gosh, this looks like a different level of beast here. And listen, if it wasn't going to happen for Luka this offseason, you'd almost have to imagine that it was never going to happen for
him. Yeah, probably. And honestly, see, this is the tough part because we don't know all of the conversations that took place. Like, you and I have probably heard the same thing about some of the conversations that took place behind the scenes about, hey, you got to get in shape, you got to clean up your act, blah, 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 blah. But you don't know what extent that is because they might have already had their come to Jesus meeting multiple times and it just didn't work. And so maybe there are people with the Mavericks who are like, I don't know why you're so surprised. We told you that this was going to be the outcome, but I don't know all of that information. By the way, for anybody who's misconstrued what I was trying to answer the question to Chris Arnold, it has nothing to do with the fan whatsoever. That's why I was hesitant to try to answer his question on the air. All right. Oh, he's back. Oh, my gosh. He's going to give us some information.
Is.
Thank you for trying to help me with my guest for Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact in North Texas. My possibilities, love the charity, yes. And that's what we were working on.
Absolutely.
Now I got to go give blood.
Okay. And get us that basketball. All right. So Chris Arnold, the man of the people, always doing things to help out with the community. All right. Do you want to start out with Cooper Flagg's work ethic, his natural talent, or the hype level behind Cooper Flagg?
Let's go natural talent, because I keep hearing about work ethic and competitive spirit. I want to get down to the what can you actually do for me skill-wise.
Because don't you feel like that's like, again, if we can go back to the relationship analogy, she has the best personality. Like, don't you feel like that's a, hey, I appreciate that's part of the deal, but you're not telling me like the real thing.
Exactly. If you're leading with that, it's like, okay, that almost feels alarming.
Yes. Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about the natural talent. Now, you're the one who brought this article up to me, and I thought it was really fascinating. It was from Sports Illustrated, part of their cover article. Andy Bedard was coaching youth basketball in Southern Maine, where, again, we've already put forth the idea this is the biggest story to ever happen in the history of Maine.
Yes, and I heard Pat Doney illustrating that with Sean and RJ earlier this morning. NBC5 is going to have the whole deal. Doney went to Maine, met with a bunch of people, and just got the whole backstory on Cooper. It's fascinating.
And it's definitely at least the biggest sports story ever from Maine. Maybe something else important happened in Maine that I don't know about. All right, so he talked about how he had heard stories about this long-limbed third grader up north, which again,
out of context.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tough.
Exactly. Who was dominating kids that were multiple years older than him. And he goes, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And so he goes, there are some kids that can barely chew gum and walk at the same time, let alone even ace the layup line. But he goes, Cooper was out there doing left-handed flip layups at 45-degree angle, and he was so coordinated, and he couldn't believe how, like, already at home Cooper Flagg felt when he was on the court. He said the way you saw him pass the ball to bad players with extra backspin, so it was a soft pass. And he was like, hey, you're not good. So I'll throw a little something extra to make the ball spin back and get to your hands softer.
And that's encouraging for when he's got to pass the ball to Dwight Powell. Right?
Yes. Who, of course, did pick up his $4 million option, because why would you not? But I do like the idea that whether you think like bigs are inherently less likely to handle your pass well or whatever, I like the idea that even as a kid, he's like, no, I've identified the players on the team that are less likely to catch this pass. So I'm going to go ahead and groove it for them a little bit. So first of all, I thought that was amazing. Secondly, you might like this. You might not. If a teammate missed a shot, he'd grab a rebound and let them shoot it again. So he could dominate, but he liked to distribute. And actually, believe it or not, that was a knock on him in certain games at Duke. Even Coach Shire looked at him and said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were supposed to be able to take over this game. Are you going to do that or not?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that is one of the things. And you've heard it over the years. Like, that used to be one of the things that, like, people would say even more currently about Paolo Banchero. If you go back to early LeBron James,
yes,
it would be like, hey, man, I think you could take over this game more from a scoring aspect. So that is something to watch. I mean, it's great that he can distribute the ball really well and wants to be a team player. But there are times when you're like, I need you to be cutthroat Cooper.
Right. Just go be the assassin. Go be the killer late in the game. And that's one of the aspects in my mind that sets Luka apart from other just really talented offensive scorers in the NBA these days.
Absolutely.
Big moment on the road. I'm going to end you right now.
Absolutely. Now, he has a brother named Ace.
So okay, this was news to me.
Yeah, okay. So
a twin brother.
Yes, he has a twin brother named Ace. So yes, his twin brother's name is Ace Flagg. And he's not as good at basketball, or else I feel like we would have heard about him by now.
It'd be a huge bummer to have to be Ace Flag, the twin brother of Cooper.
For sure.
Like, and Donnie was talking about the difference in like personality between them when he went. And like Ace is just a little bit more easygoing. Talented dude. I think he's playing at a school in Maine for college.
Yeah, no, he's good.
He's good. Yeah. But Cooper was just always so much more intense and super competitive.
So what do you find more surprising? Is it that, or in the family's minivan, when driving to practice, they were fancy. He was able to watch DVDs, again, outdated technology that I still love, but he would watch DVDs of the 1985-86 Celtics season so he could learn more about Larry Bird and about the team in general, because that is widely believed to be one of the greatest NBA teams of all time. This is when he was like a kid. All right.
I love that.
Are you more, I'm going to say, flabbergasted by the fact that he has a twin brother named Ace? Or that in the van on the way to practice, he was watching mid-80s Celtics tapes to improve his game?
It's going to be the Celtics DVDs.
Okay.
Especially at that age, to care that much really try to soak that in. He didn't have anything to do with having a twin.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. Now, to go along with that, go back to Andy Bedard, his youth basketball coach. He said, you show Cooper something once, you're not going to have to show him again. And then we go to Brian Scalabrine. We've had him on our show plenty of times.
White Mamba.
Yes, that's right. He'll dominate 10 ways in one game and then 10 different ways in another game. Like, you go back to the NCAA tournament, I'm pretty sure it was Arizona, and I think Caleb Love started to take over, and he was scoring at an unbelievable rate. And you're like, uh-oh, here we go. And then Cooper Flagg's like, okay, fine, I will score at that same rate because that is what's necessary. And that's one of the things. And I know some people have talked about, like, what is his defining, like, overwhelming best trait? And that can be a negative, or you can view it as a positive. I don't know that I know what it is outside of maybe I've just say his defensive ability and versatility.
Yeah.
But he's so good at so many different things. I don't like the idea of him running the point, but if you needed him to run the point for a possession or two, like in a pinch, I think he can do that. I think he can fit fine as a two, as a three, as a four. I think he can defend at the two, the three, and the four as well. We just talked about that with Bobby Corella a little bit earlier. And defensively, he's already probably at least your fourth best defender.
Yeah, and I think by the end of the season, we'll be talking about him as maybe you're close to your best there. Now, I am curious, when it comes to you not wanting him to sort of run the point, be that point forward, initiating offense, is that a basketball IQ thing, or is that a dribble handle thing?
No, I think it's a handle thing, because you know what you really would love to see, because I watched probably too much Duke basketball throughout my life, but especially this last season, is one of the things that he's really great at is, if you are going to go at a slower pace, like if you want him to run the offense at the top of the key, or maybe even just past half court, I think that's great. And I think he can definitely do that. I know not teams are not like pressing again and again, but I don't like the idea of him bringing the ball up the court. But if you can get it to him off of a pass, even right past half court, then he can take over as your de facto point guard if you want, out on the wing. And then the other thing that he can do is he can drive it to the hoop. Like, some point guards can do that, not all, but some of the elite point guards are like, not only can they distribute it, they can take it to the hoop. And that is one of the things. And he has a bigger body for like somebody who you'd think of as a point guard, kind of like Luka. Luka was one of the best we've ever seen at, oh, I can pass the ball.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I can drive it right down your throat and make you pay.
Right.
I think Cooper Flagg has that same capability.
Yeah, and I like the idea of him being still so young and time to develop that maybe 2, 3, 4 years from now, we have a different perspective, especially when you consider the handle factor as being one of the main reasons. Like, you can start to develop some of that.
Oh, for sure.
If you have everything else, and I like what our buddy Tony in the 214 said, like, what's his best trait? It's just how complete of a player he is.
Or somebody said effort. I get. And like he tries, because we'll talk about defenses, at least somewhat effort based. He will give you tremendous effort on both sides of the court. And the other thing you mentioned, how young he is, he should have just graduated high school. Don't forget, he reclassified into this. He turned 18 while his freshman season at Duke was going on. So he won't turn 19 till close to when Kyrie is supposed to come back. 19.
So it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw like John Habistro or somebody like that saying if he would have been born 11 days after what his actual birthday is, he wouldn't even have been eligible for this draft.
That is exactly.
And so that's all super encouraging. And the other thing that I saw when I really started to watch him throughout March Madness and the tournament, there was one specific game. I can't remember the opponent right now, but his ability to throw up lobs.
Oh,
to
my
the
God.
Big men?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm thinking with Lively or with Anthony Davis and Gafford, that is something that Luka was so good at, and he's got that to his game, too.
Look, Kaman Malawach is going to be a lottery pick in the draft tomorrow, all right? And like,
the big man from
Duke. Yes, I think he has a load of potential defensively, but offensively, a big part of his game was either offensive rebound putback or finish that lob, which he did with like ruthless aggression. And you just talked about it. Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford, Anthony Davis. You have the most terrifying trio of lob finishers in the league and in Cooper Flagg. And that's where I said, I don't want him taking it the whole way. But if you have him set up to run your offense kind of in the half court, that can be devastating because you have to respect his offensive game. If he penetrates, like you won't just back straight away from him. Like you have to stay with him. Mm-hmm. And so you have the opportunity to have somebody roll to the basket and be wide open. And I think you're going to see a lot of those like gimme assist alley-oop dunks.
I think you might have just won Masterpiece of the Week during this segment. Congratulations.
Couple of different things.
That was really impressive work the way you paint that picture.
Hopefully you got valid basketball information along the way too.
It was
right.
I mean, yeah.
Hopefully
we got it all.
Okay. That's fine. I can live with that. As long as we got valuable information along the way, I can accept that.
You channeled your inner Cooper Flagg in that segment where you did a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And we appreciate that.
See, I like that. By the way, we didn't even get to the hype factor. I do want to get to the hype factor at some point. Maybe that'll end up being tomorrow. But like when we talk about the hierarchy of how hyped his prospect star is compared to everybody else who's been in the draft in the last 25 years. It's pretty astonishing. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about we do some NFL overreaction or reality? We've got our AEW ticket giveaway, and maybe we'll go back to Cooper Flagg because it'll give me the opportunity to say something foolish again. All of that next right here on The Fan.
Third and four. Again, the pressure picked up. Shot for CeeDee Lamb. Flagged down.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Eric Chiafalo, Jacob Ray will be rocking with you all week long, and then I'll be back hopefully until the end of time. So right here, we're going to do NFL overreaction or reality, but also in this expressway, we will do our AEW ticket giveaway, and we just might get back to some Cooper Flagg hype. Sound good?
Let's go.
All right. NFL overreaction or reality. Now, I played the highlight, and that's how you know we're going to go in this direction. CeeDee Lamb will break his own Cowboys record for most receptions in a season. Now, Eric, I'm going to go to you, and we're going to allow Jacob to get involved in this conversation as well, assuming he does well. Overreaction or reality, CeeDee Lamb will break his own Cowboys record for most receptions in a season. That was 135 going back to 2023. That was actually only 14 catches back on Michael Thomas's all-time record, but let's stick with the Cowboys for now. What say you guys, overreaction or reality?
I don't think this is like a ridiculous overreaction, but I will lean that way. I think the George Pickens addition is going to obviously take away some of the targets there. And Dak to Ferguson, I think Ferguson is going to be a guy that really benefits in this in this offense now with Pickens and Lamb, of course, being there. So I think this will be a little bit more of a spread the wealth. They talk a big game about how they want to be able to run the football. So how much more are they going to be running
with
this team as opposed to the McCarthy and Kellen Moore time? So I mean, because 135, so he needs 136 receptions.
That's right.
That's a lofty number.
It is.
So I expect CeeDee Lamb to have an outstanding season, but I would guess it's 134 catches or less.
Yeah, I think that would be 8 catches a game. So, like, that is a lot.
That's a lot.
All right. What say you, Jacob?
I'm going to go overreaction as well. I think they're going to really try and ride the run game to start the season. And I think they'll probably end up peeling back a little bit once they start reaching the tougher teams who can stop the run really well. And that's when you're going to see the catches kind of increase after that. But I think the first kind of easy stretch of the season, they're going to really dedicate themselves to the run game. And I don't think the targets are going to be there for CeeDee.
And I'm not obviously wishing this in any way, but you have to keep in mind the idea that is Dak going to play all the games?
Yeah.
And if you have a Joe Milton in there, what does that do to the CeeDee Lamb touches?
Totally agree.
Because he had 101 catches last year. Part of that's because of the quarterback situation. Is Dak going to play all the games?
Yeah.
There's a chance he doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a
huge chance.
Yeah. Okay. NFL overreaction or reality, perpetual hanger-on Aaron Rodgers really will be done after this year. Now, he just said on Pat McAfee that this is probably more than likely his final season.
Pretty sure, he says.
Yeah, pretty sure. Which, of course, leaves you plenty of wiggle room to be like, I mean, I said pretty sure. I didn't say totally sure. So, you know, I'm back.
I think
so,
he's pretty sure he's married as well.
Yeah, it's really weird. I keep seeing people like try to research this, and then I'm over here being like, I don't care who he's married to.
Well, not even Anti-Teo.
I don't even think it's who he's married to. It's if he's married at all.
Oh, you think he's just BS?
I think he might be ballsacking the people.
Wow.
Because there's like no records. His family's apparently not that they would really know what's going on in his life, but they're like, we don't believe so. Yeah. So,
all right, overreaction or reality? This will be the last season Aaron Rodgers plays in the NFL.
I feel 100% this is reality. I think the game will be divorcing themselves from Rodgers a little bit. Even I mean, think about it. There was one team that had any interest in him this time around.
Yeah.
So another year. He's played what, 20 years? I think that's right. This is going to be it for him.
Okay.
I completely agree. I think it's reality, and I'm even going to go a step further. I don't think he's going to finish the season before retiring.
Ooh, okay. So that's probably going to answer my bonus question. I got a bonus Steelers question. Jacob, I'm going to start with you because I think your answer is going to be overreaction.
I have take envy over that one. That was a good take right there, Jake.
Overreaction or reality, the Steelers are a 10-win team with Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, I don't think they get the double digits. I'm seeing them like 7-9 range, so I'm going to say overreaction.
Man, there's a part of me that feels like, dude, they're always 500 or better with Mike Tomlin, and oftentimes it's with Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges.
Garbage.
Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett?
Yeah.
They still find a way.
They do.
But I don't know. I think this is the year that Mike Tomlin and Pittsburgh finally can't put it all together and be the above 500.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football okay. team. So I'm going to go no on the double digit wins.
NFL overreaction or reality? It's going to happen. The Buffalo Bills or Baltimore Ravens will win the Super Bowl this year.
Ooh, oh, actually win it.
Actually win it.
Because you could just say get to the
All right,
Super Bowl.
You know what? We'll dumb it down and then we'll go from there. The Ravens or the Bills will make the Super Bowl this season.
Wow. I will say reality.
Oh, I love it.
I will say reality because, man, if not now, it's really never going to happen for either one of those teams. The Chiefs, I still believe in as being certainly a playoff team and being a team that, like, the Chiefs will be in the AFC Championship game.
Sure.
That feels like just something that is as much of a lock as anything in the sport these days. But yeah, with the way that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have played, I think it's fair to put all your eggs in one of those two baskets.
I'm going to go overreaction just because I think the only way these two teams make it to the Super Bowl is if Kansas City somehow loses before the championship game. And I just don't see that happening. So I'm going to say overreaction.
All right. That means, Chiafalo, only you are eligible for the bonus question. The Buffalo Bills or Baltimore Ravens, one of them will win the Super Bowl.
Hey, listen, if I think they can get there, I think they can absolutely win it. Why not?
Yeah.
So, and again, they're probably going to have the quarterback advantage in that particular game if they're going up against the Eagles or the Lions or the Packers. Maybe not the Commanders. If the Commanders make it, that means Jaden Daniels is
the real deal.
Perhaps the real deal might be a wash there.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think this is their time.
All right.
It's got to be their time.
I like it. And if it's not, I don't know.
Then it never is.
Yeah, because like Josh Allen even said, he goes, hey, winning the MVP was cool, but like.
There's more.
I'm ready to win the Super Bowl.
There's more out there for me.
Do you think he saw Haley Steinfeld's profile raise with how awesome Sinners was and how much money it made? And he's like, whoa, I better step up my game.
I gotta level up now.
Yeah, Pitch Perfect or the sequels was the AFC Championship game. But then she made Sinners and you're like, ooh, we're in the Super Bowl.
That's a Super Bowl. Yeah. So you saw that movie.
It's tremendous.
Is it tremendous?
I also love Michael B. Jordan, though. So, I mean, why wouldn't you? He is handsome and a good actor.
If you were Josh Allen's teammate, would you have covered your eyes throughout portions of that movie?
No.
Okay, because I haven't seen it. I heard there was some pretty next level nastiness.
Yeah, but I think it's more from a violence standpoint than a naked standpoint.
I just heard something about a spit situation.
Oh.
I did as well.
Yeah.
I just heard about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just heard about it.
I get it. Look, if you get turned into a vampire, weird things might happen.
I guess so.
All right. As we discussed yesterday.
From what I've heard about this movie, I just imagine that every time Josh Allen takes the ball to run and sees a defender, he's imagining that defender being Michael B. Jordan, and he's going to truck stick that dude.
Okay, but I...
And he'll never get tackled this season because of it.
I don't want to give you the impression that Haley Steinfeld has like a kink in the movie where she's like, spit in my mouth. Like, I don't want you to think, damn it.
You're on fire today.
Whatever. You guys are jerks. All right. NFL overreaction.
He just lost the point entirely.
Yeah. I gave up. I conceded. I said something so stupid that I concede the point. All right. NFL overreaction or reality, Sam Darnold has to prove himself all over as a quarterback again. Because I feel like last year, he really like was doing a great job. And then they crapped the bed in their last two games. And now it feels like, well, that's why we had to send you away. Now you got to show me all over again that you might still be good.
100%. Yes. Especially because we've seen Kevin O'Connell and that offense make sort of chicken soup out of some level of chicken S.
Yeah.
And so seeing it in a different offense, and the last thing we saw was Sam Darnold just being the worst version of himself.
Yeah.
And that's what people are going to be remembering. So,
do you think he could not be chicken S though? Like maybe it wasn't just O'Connell.
I lean more that he's closer to chicken S on the chicken spectrum than he is to the soup.
Okay.
But the Seahawks defense is going to be so good that they will be competetive. I worry their offensive line, and seeing the way Sam Darnold, how many sacks did he take
in
a couple of those games late in the season, I think that could be a huge problem for him with Seattle.
I'm going to go reality. I don't think we saw him win the big game. He didn't prove his ability to win the big game and make the big plays in the big moments. And if I remember correctly, the Seahawks offensive line wasn't great last year. I remember Geno being under a lot of pressure, and that's kind of what broke Sam Darnold towards the end of the year, especially against the Rams in that playoff game. So I think he's going to struggle to start, but I think he's definitely got to reprove himself.
NFL overreaction or reality, Travis Hunter should be a full-time player on offense.
So we're saying not defense?
Okay.
Or what does that mean?
So then that becomes the next question, because there's some thought that they'll hybrid him from the perspective of maybe they'll drop his offensive snaps by 15 to 20%. So the contention in this question is, you can decide what you're going to do with him on defense in a minute, but it starts with he's a full-time offensive player. Whether that means the coaching staff keeps him out of defensive plays or only uses him 10% of the time, I don't know.
Okay, so I do think that he needs to be as much of a full-time player offensively as most receivers are.
You think that's his better skill set?
I do. Okay. I do think that is his better skill set. Now, obviously, people have differing opinions on that. I know Walchuk feels like at corner, if he just was a full-time corner, that he would be one of the best in the league, like pretty much immediately.
And don't you think it would be easier to be full-time cornerback and like come in for 10% of your throw-in wide receiver plays than it would to be full-time wide receiver and come in for 10 to 15%? Defensive plays.
Yes, I do. We have seen Bill Belichick do that years and years and years ago with Troy Brown. You can mix him in defensively and be just like a dime corner or whatever in specific situations, put him in there. So I think both of them are doable, but there's a part of me that just loves the idea, and we'll see if Trevor Lawrence can take the next step, but he's certainly competent. Now that you have Liam Cohen as the play caller, you saw what he did with the Buccaneers.
Yep.
Brian Thomas Jr. set the world on fire as a rookie receiver.
He is a stud, yeah.
The duo of Hunter and Thomas Jr. to me, just as a football fan, I need to see that as much as possible because that's going to be highlight reel stuff.
Okay. So same question for you. NFL overreaction or reality, Travis Hunter should be a full-time offensive player.
I fully agree with Eric. I think Jacksonville is going to be a team that wins games on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think Travis Hunter is going to move the needle too much for that defense to where it's worth taking energy away from the offensive side of the ball. And I think Trevor Lawrence still needs weapons to prove that he's worth that contract. So I'm gonna say reality.
You know what? I was prepared for this exact scenario. Bonus question to start with you, Jacob. NFL overreaction or reality? Trevor Lawrence is a bust.
I'm going to say reality.
Wow! I did not expect that.
Yeah, I thought he was good, and then right after that comeback win against the Chargers in the playoffs, but he just hasn't done anything since then. I thought that was going to be kind of a start to a really nice playoff run for him and the Jags, but they just couldn't get it done after that, so I'm going to say reality.
I think bust is an overstatement here. I just said he's competent and even above average.
Yeah.
And obviously he's in Jacksonville. He hasn't had the best situation from a coaching standpoint, but he's only flashed, like, he hasn't met expectations, that's for sure.
For sure.
And if he can't do it with Liam Cohen and two wide receivers like a Brian Thomas Jr. and a Travis Hunter, this is sort of the pooper get off the pot season for him of being like, do you have a chance to really be a franchise dominant quarterback, or are you just going to be one of these guys that, hey, on any given year, you can be my Sam Darnold starter for the Vikings, but nobody really wants to marry you moving forward?
I think I think underachieving, I'm definitely with you on that. One of the other reasons that it crossed into my mind is that He leads the league in turnovers since he came into the NFL.
Dang, I did not know that.
Despite the fact that he missed 7 games in 2024. So think about that. He missed 7 games. He still leads all players in turnovers since he came into the league.
That is pretty damning.
Just wanted to throw that out there. Did you guys enjoy this? Would you like to do NFL overreaction and or reality again tomorrow?
So I'm a football guy, Jake. I don't know about you, but
yeah, I love the pigskin, so let's do it.
give me the football.
Okay, good. I'm glad that you guys are in on this. But you know what? I feel like we need to do one more thing, Eric, before we go any further.
Let's give something away.
There you go. 877-881-1053. Caller number 10 right now will win a 4-pack of tickets to go see AEW All in Texas July 12th at Globe Life Field. It's AEW's first ever stadium show in America. Of course, you can go buy tickets at AEWTix.com or you can win them for free right now. Caller number 10, 4-pack, 877-881-1053. Now, hopefully people are getting involved in the giveaway. Remember, we're going to do the Dermot Kennedy giveaway all week and the AEW giveaway all week. And then on the G-Bag Nation, 320, Marcus Simeon. So set your calendars accordingly.
I wonder if they're going to ask him who he feels like is the most disappointing player on the Rangers lineup this year.
Ooh.
Maybe they'll ask him that question.
Do you think they should ask it in the same way I've teased it off the air? I think it might have been in our tease
it
today.
Was.
Guess what? We're going to push it. Who's the most disappointing player on the Rangers this season, and why is it Corey Seager? All right.
I think his response to that would be it's only Corey Seager because I, Marcus Simeon, have finally found a way to
see?
Be respectable. Because otherwise it would have just been me.
Yes. I really wanted to have Marcus Simeon on our show to see if he remembers Mike Bassett gleefully chasing him down in the parking lot at spring training to tell him about the player for FC Dallas that I asked if he's super into his birthday since it's on Christmas. And he's like, well, I'm Muslim. So, you know, Mike thought that was the funniest thing that's ever been. The rest of that segment, he didn't ask a single question. He kept writing questions. He's like, hey, ask him about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And like that, all the questions he wanted me to ask were like that. All right. We're going to go back to Cooper Flagg because we're not that far away from the NBA draft. We're what, like, you know, 30 hours, maybe 30 and a half hours. So I wanted to get into another aspect of Cooper Flagg, and that's the hype. All right. So we have talked about this quite a bit, and I wanted to throw this out there. So it starts with The Athletic, and then we're going to expand it out from there. The Athletic has the most hyped prospects going into the draft in the past decade. So this has nothing to do with how the player panned out, all right? It's not a referendum on their NBA career or anything like that. So these are just the most hyped prospects of the last 10 years. All right, so do you want to do top 10? That makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
Luka Doncic, number 10. And obviously, he has turned out to be great. But I want to say this. I've said this before. I'll say it multiple times. We were at the American Airlines Center on draft night. The first interview he did in the Metroplex, it was with our show. 90% of the fans listening that night were disappointed in the selection.
That is crazy because I remember being pumped.
Yeah. And at the time, I said he could be the best player in this draft at three different positions. And it kind of feels like that's come to fruition. I mean, it definitely has come to fruition. But yeah, 90%. Because why? He was white and European. And so...
Yeah, just somewhat of an unknown to the average basketball fan. And like Trae Young was a guy that
you've seen play. And now you find out he can't shoot. So DeAndre Ayton, number 9. Ja Morant, 8. Markelle Fultz, number 7, I think people forget how high the expectations were for him.
Look,
this is not a reflection of what you did in the NBA.
I mean, nobody knew that he was just going to completely short circuit. That's one of the more fascinating subjects of an individual in basketball history, at least as of the last decade or so. Like, what happened to him?
Okay, I want you to consider the next person on the list then, Ben Simmons.
Oh, my gosh. And they were the same It was the same draft class, wasn't it?
I think they were different draft classes.
Okay, my bad.
I believe, because, yes, I believe they were different draft classes. But, yeah, Ben Simmons is another great example that you're just like, man, I thought this dude was going to be unbelievable.
I was all in on both of those, of those guys being fantastic. And they both short-circuited in a ridiculous, sort of unheard-of way. It's crazy.
Markelle Fultz was the year after Ben
Simmons.
Okay,
they were back-to-back.
Karl-Anthony Towns is number five of the most hyped prospects. So that means either Cooper Flagg's in the top four or he's not in the top 10. Guess what? He's definitely in the top four.
Absolutely.
All right, number four, Cade Cunningham. Number three, Zion. So this one's a little tricky because I do think Cooper Flagg is more hyped up than Zion in terms of over time. Nobody in the history of basketball felt like in the moment they were more hyped up than Zion just because you'd seen all the incredible things that he had done. President Obama showed up at the UNC game to see him play and then his shoe blew out and then people lost their freaking minds. And like, but he had to build up to that. So when he started college, he was only the number three prospect. Cooper Flagg would have been the number one pick last year in the NBA draft. He's been the number one guy for a long time, even when he reclassified. So that means there's only two left on the list. Who do you think has more hype behind them going into the draft? Is it Cooper Flagg or is it Wemby? Or was it Wemby?
I think for as hyped as Cooper is and has been, I don't think we've seen a hype like Wemby since probably LeBron.
I think that's a very astute observation.
When you're 7'4" and you get, I'll never forget watching the play where he shoots a three and misses it and then gathers his own rebound off the rim and dunks it.
Yes.
It's like he alley-ooped it to himself off a miss from the 3-point line. You're going, this truly is an alien-like extraterrestrial.
Was that the one where, was it Windhorst that they sent out to France? To talk to like his parents or something for 45 seconds. Yes. And it was like 3 a.m. there. And they're like, all right, well, let's go back to the studio. And you're like, that's it? You flew him all the way out for that? So I found another list that had all-time draft hype behind it. And so I wanted to kind of throw this in the mix as well. We talked about Wemby. Wemby is number two on this list behind only LeBron James. So I think it's safe to say if you look at the past quarter century, which a lot you've seen a lot of stuff come out as like past quarter century, all of that. I think you can make a very, very strong argument that Cooper Flagg is the third most hyped prospect in the last 25 years behind only LeBron and Wemby. Now, obviously, LeBron has somehow he has surpassed the hype. That is still mind-boggling that he was more hyped than any athlete in human history. And he's somehow been better than the hype. That's wild to me. I know Wemby had the blood clot issue, but early look is kind of feels like he's going to be the real deal. I know there are concerns about the health, though. And then you've got Cooper Flagg at number three. So first of all, that's an incredible amount of hype and expectation.
Okay, I just want to say about Wemby, he played 46 games in this past season because cut short because of the clot.
Yep.
He still led the league in blocks.
Wow.
So that's just one example.
Wow.
I mean, 24 points, 48% from the field, 35% from the three-point line, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, and leading the league in blocks and playing like half the games.
And he was definitely going to be defensive player of the year, and a lot of people thought he should have been defensive player of the year as a rookie.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Again,
he's meeting expectations outside of the the blood clot.
Exactly. So that is one thing that's encouraging to me. Now, if you wanted to make an argument after that, would the next person be Ralph Sampson, who did not live up to the hype? The hype for him was unbelievable coming out of college. But I'm excited that just in this quarter century, not all time, he would be third. And the first two, you feel pretty good that they lived up to the hype. And I think that's really exciting. By the way, from the 214, what does Flag reclassified mean? So they have this thing, and it's actually, you've started to see a lot more people reclassify up, and that's when they change what class they're in. And so Cooper Flagg was supposed to graduate high school in the class of 2026 or 2025. So he should just be graduating high school right now.
Yeah, he should be heading off to Duke this fall.
Exactly, like just a few weeks ago. And so what they do, sometimes maybe it really is for academic reasons. I've become jaded to the youth sports world, and I feel like most all of the time it is to give yourself an advantage. And so some people move up and reclassify and like, hey, I was supposed to be at your school next season. I'll be at your school this season because maybe they see a need. It's a need at linebacker. It's a need at point guard. It's a need at shortstop. It's a need at whatever. And you're like, I have the opportunity to play right now. Plus, I'll be 1 year younger when I hit the draft, 1 year younger when I hit my first big free agency contract, and on and on and on. It also works the same way sometimes to go back. And you'll see this to create potentially, I guess, kind of like a deceiving view of who you are as a player. So like, think about it. You're 14 or whatever, and you're like, hey, I'm reclassifying and I'm going to stay in eighth grade. All right. So then you're a freshman and now you're 15. Let's say you start playing varsity, maybe that year, maybe the next year. And you're like, wow, this kid just started on varsity. He's unbelievable. And you're like, he's already 16. Like, he's not like a freshman like you would think of. And so sometimes I think basketball ratings especially get deceived by that because you're like, well, he's a year older than a lot of the people that he's going up against. And I think you've seen that a couple of times locally. You've seen it a ton nationally. So, yes, reclassification. And that's what Cooper Flagg did. And that's why he didn't turn 18 until the season was going, because he should have still been in high school. And as Eric brought up, if he was 11 or 12 days younger, he would not even be eligible to even be in the draft class. And you'd have to wait till 2026. And, you know, I guess you'd go with, well, probably Dylan, not Ace Bailey. Ace Bailey is in the middle of a slide that we'll get to in just a minute. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and throw that out right now. As long as we're on the college basketball train, if that's okay with you, can I throw out another little draft nugget?
Please do.
Okay, great.
I'm starving.
Thank you very, very much. So let's talk about the saga of Ace Bailey. So Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, the two players from Rutgers who, remember, did not make the NCAA tournament, they were going to go 2 and 3. That was like a lock. It was a done deal. So Dylan Harper is still going to go to number two. But Ace Bailey picked up the strategy of, I'm not going to interview with a whole lot of teams. So he turned down a whole bunch of interviews and didn't want to work out. And he was like, it'll be fine. I'm going to go third. And then some people started to say, oh, maybe he won't go third. And then he was like, well, I won't go worse than fourth. Somebody will trade up to get me. Maybe that could still happen. We'll find out tomorrow. But then you also got news that he would prefer to go to a situation where he can really stand out and get attention as a superstar. Not where they can win, but where he can stand out and get attention as a Super Bowl, as a superstar. So obviously Washington, they got to be salivating over this kid. They're like, hey, we're never going to win. But you could be, yeah, you could get all the focus here. And so that's ended up, it looks like it's going to cost him, because Cooper Flagg is going to go one, Dylan Harper is going to go two. Now it looks like VJ Edgecombe, the kid out of Baylor, is going to be third. Con Knepel out of Duke has shockingly moved up to the odds on favorite to go four. I think that's too high. And Trey Johnson, another local kid, and obviously he played his college ball at Texas, has moved up to the betting favorite to be five. And Ace Bailey is now the betting favorite to be six. And you might be like, three, six, what's the big deal? That is a big change in money. As well as, I don't know, about status or ego or whatever else. And we'll see. Maybe none of this will come to fruition. Some team will trade up or whatever. But it feels like this strategy has really backfired on him.
Yeah, this is a weird one. It's definitely been bad for the PR.
For sure.
So that's one of the things that I'll be most fascinated to watch come tomorrow night, is just how much of a slide does he take because everybody's just so out on the kid.
Absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the Chi Block, starring Eric Chiafalo.
Is Hagee worried about the Nature Boy after this alarming report? And I will tell you why this is the year for all of us to watch the ESPYs. That's next right here on The Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.